Understanding the realizations, 29 through 34. Summary of section 31A. At this halfway point of the Tattvasandarbha, Sri Jiva Goswami has finished his discussion of epistemology by ascertaining the proper means of acquiring knowledge, praman. Yet among. Just use one of them.
Either one.
There's also I'm not sure where it is. I think it was in New Guinea or something like that. When they speak English, if something's big, it's big. If it's bigger, it's big, big. So, this is really among, among. Here among those schools sharing deference for Apurusheya Shabda Praman, there is disagreement over topics of Sambandha Gyan. Both Dvaita and Advaita Vedantists revere Shruti, yet possess opposite concepts of the Jiva, Maya, Bhagavan, Brahman, and so on. Now in the Prameya Khanda of this work, Jiva Goswami aims to clearly delineate these tattvas and determine the true categories of existence. Centuries early, Srila Madhvacharya had accomplished this task by presenting the Nava Prameyas, or nine philosophical foundations undergirding Vaishnavism, a study he based on the Vedanta Sutras. So fundamental are these truths, declares Baladeva Vidyabhushan, that without a clear understanding of them, one cannot hope to assimilate the philosophy of our succession. In the Satsandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami expands on these core tenets by giving a systematic presentation of Prameya, as seen through the divine vision of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srimad Bhagavatam. Several centuries later, the philosophy expounded in this section was again distilled by the seventh Goswami, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his 10 essential maxims, the Dasa Mool Tattva. Since the remainder of the Tattvasandarbha deals with the topic of Prameya, it would be beneficial to review how these previous acharyas analyzed the subject. In text 8 of his Prameya Ratnavali, Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan presents Madhvacharya's Prameyas as follows. Sri Madhvapraha Vishnum Paratatmam Akhilam Naya Vedyam Cha Vishvam Satyam Bhedam Cha Jivam Haricharana Jushas Taratamyam Chatesham Moksham Vishvangri Labha Tad amala bhajanam tasya hetum pramanam pratyakshari trayam chet yuparishati hari krishna chaitanya chandra. Madhvacharya taught that 1. Lord Vishnu is the absolute truth, than whom nothing is higher. 2. He is known by study of the Vedas. 3. The material world is real. 4. The jivas, living entities, are different from the Lord Vishnu. 5. The jivas are by nature servants of Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. 6. In both the conditioned and liberated condition, the jivas are situated in higher and lower statuses. 7. Liberation does not mean an impersonal merging, but the attainment of Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. 8. Pure devotional service grants liberation. 9. Direct perception, logic, Vedic authority are the three sources of actual knowledge. These same truths are also taught by the Supreme Personality Godhead himself in his appearance as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The equivalent verse appears in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura's Dasamul Niryas as follows. Am I supposed to read it backwards? Or?
Is it upside down?
Yeah. No, I just turn it over. I'm wondering if it's another emphasis.
Exclusive speciality of this page.
Yes, uniqueness. Am nayaf praha tattvam harimiha paramam sarva shaktim rasabhim. Tadbhinam shtajivan prakritikavalitam tadbhimuktam shtabhavat. Beda beda prakasham shakalam apihare sadhanam shudhavaktim. Sadhyam tatpritim evet yubadishati harir gaura chandaro vajetam. Your daughter knows this verse. You're just getting it. She already knows it. We know this verse. Otherwise, we don't. I worship Sri Gaurachandra, Lord Chaitanya, who has revealed the path of wisdom. The Vedic scriptures are the only authority for knowledge of the ninefold aspects of wisdom, which are, 1, Sri Hari is the only source of wisdom. 2, he is omnipotent. 3, he is an ocean of bliss. 4, the living entities are his parts and parcels. 5, some of the living entities are conditioned by the material nature. 6, other living entities are liberated from material nature. 7, everything including the jivas is one and different from Sri Hari. 8, unalloyed devotional service is the only means for the conditioned souls to go beyond the world of birth and death. 9, love for the Supreme Lord Prema is the only goal. The table on the following page illustrates the keen correspondence between the items in each list. The Satsandarbhas proclaim that the enigma is taxing every philosopher since time immemorial. What is the nature of this world? Why do we suffer? What is our means of salvation? What is our ultimate purpose? Are to be found in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. At this juncture in the Tattva Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami considers the best means to unravel these truths. Of all the prayers, passages, and pastimes in the beautiful Bhagavatam, which is best suited to commence this ambitious task, Jiva Goswami decides that in order to gain entrance into the secrets of the Bhagavatam, one must study its transcendent origin, the samadhi meditation of its speaker, Srila Vyasadeva. Summary of text 30 to 31. In order to accurately convey the meaning of a profound text like Srimad Bhagavatam, one must understand the circumstances leading to its composition. Srila Vyasadeva's state of melancholy, his subsequent submission to Guru, and finally his darshan of the Absolute Truth are all described by the author himself in the first canto of his work. The culmination of this process, Vyasadeva's trance, described in text 1.7.4-11, is the subject for the next 20 anuchetas of Tattvasandarbha, a book of 63 anuchetas in total. This should hardly come as a surprise for followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because within this section is contained the famous Atmarama verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.10. The importance of this verse cannot be overstated. It played an instrumental role in the dramatic defeat of the Mayavadi stalwarts at the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord elaborated on ist meaning on multiple occasions to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in 18 different ways, and to Sanatan Goswami Prakarshananda Saraswati in 61 ways. Eka Shasti Arta Prabhu Vivarti Kahila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 25.162. Moreover, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami devotes an entire chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 24, over 300 shlokas to explaining this single verse. Footnote 1. Acharyas reassure us that, complex as it may seem, the meaning of the verse is actually quite simple. Chaitanya Charitamrita recounts. Okay, so that means after the graft, then asleep. I have thus explained 60 different meanings, and all of them aim at the service of Lord Krishna. After giving so many examples, that is the only meaning. Now, due to your association, another meaning has awakened. It is due to your devotional service that these waves of meaning are arising. After hearing all the explanations of all the different meanings of the Atmarama verse, Sanatana Goswami was struck with wonder. He fell down at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began to offer prayers. Sanatana Goswami said, "My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. All the Vedic literatures are vibrated through your breathing. My dear Lord, you are the original speaker of the Bhagavatam. You therefore know its real import. But for you, no one can understand the confidential meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Why are you glorifying me personally? You should understand the transcendental position of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why don't you consider this important point? Srimad Bhagavatam is as great as Krishna, the Supreme Lord and shelter of everything. In each and every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam and in each and every syllable, there are various meanings. Prati shloke, prati akshare, nana artakaya. The form of Srimad Bhagavatam is given in questions and answers. Thus the conclusion is established. By hearing these question answers, one is highly astonished. In this way, like a madman, I have explained the meaning of just one verse. I do not know who will take this as evidence. One becomes a madman like me. He may also understand the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam by this process." Sisi Madhya Lila, 24.115-3.23. Lord Shiva confirms this method. Lord Shiva said, "I may know. Sugadev Goswami, the son of Vyasadev, may know. And Vyasadev may or may not know Srimad Bhagavatam. On the whole, Srimad Bhagavatam, the spotless Purana, can be learned only through devotional service, not by material intelligence, speculative methods, or imaginary commentaries." Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 24.313, and Gaudiya Kantahar, 2.27. The potency of the Atmarama verse continues to be described in the next chapter. Yes? Because that element of that from before is that moving from understanding the Vedanta philosophy in its various elements, its various aspects, into, the Achinta Veda Veda Tattva, like that. So then it's just a matter of how much has been appreciated or understood. Is that like that? But the context of the original verse and its purport I don't have. Yeah. Yes.
Could it be that in other Kali Yugas the Vyasadeva may not know, but in this Kali Yuga?
Yeah, that also could be a possibility. Yeah, because sometimes because he's Vishnu Tattva and he's coming when Krishna is appearing. So then there is the aspect of that full revelation of the Swayam Krishna, Braja, Bhakti, Achinta, Veda, Veda, Tata, all those things come out. But like Prabhu was mentioning, in the other ages, it doesn't seem to go past Vaikuntha, so it may not be fully revealed, these aspects. Because by studying Bhagavatam, even if you're not understanding Achinta, Veda, Veda, Tattva, it will greatly enhance one's appreciation of Vaishnav Siddhanta. But you may not get from it fully what you can get from it. Right? Because Bhagavatam's always there. So then it's just a matter of being able to, how much one is able to appreciate. Yes.
Also, Shukadeva Goswami, he's considered a parrot in Goloka Vrindavan. And so he has intimate access into all those, 10th canto lilas.
Okay.
And when Bhagavatam was recited on the bank of the Ganga, Vyasadev, he sat and listened to Shukadeva Goswami recite it. So even he deferred to Shukadeva's authority.
Yes.
And there's another pastime where Lord Shiva is explaining Bhagavatam and Radha Krishna Leela to Parvati. And there's a bird, you know, listening. It was Shukadeva Goswami as a parrot. And Shiva gets very upset and starts chasing the parrot. And so he knows for sure that Shukadeva Goswami heard the import of the Bhagavatam from him personally. But he hasn't directly spoken it to Vyasadeva. So that's why he's saying he may or may not.
He may or may not. Okay.
Interesting that he compiled this and he may or may not know.
Well, I mean, you have the compilation, meaning you have good literary talent. Then there's the understanding of what you've compiled.
Isn't it going together?
It should. Okay. But that's what I'm saying is it means here also is because this is here. And what Prabhupada was saying in the purport. Because I always thought it was one knows, one may or may not know. I may know. I thought it was Sukadev knows. Vyasadeva may or may not know. It's been a long time since I've heard this verse. It was much more quoted, probably, I don't know, like 20 years ago or more. It was regularly quoted. I haven't heard anybody use it for a long time.
Yeah. Can you say the story about how it came about was that Lord Shiva, he was preaching to some Shankarites on the bank of the Ganga in Kashi, in Benares. And there was some disagreement over his text that he was reading from. It was Bhagavatam. And so they decided to put it before Kashi Vishwanath. No, I think it was Sutta Goswami. They put it before the deity. And then the next day they came. And before the deity of Lord Shiva, this verse had been written on the manuscript by Lord Shiva personally. And so that's why he says, I know.
Mm-hmm. But because here it says, I may know.
Yeah.
That was why I thought it was, yeah. I know.
Yeah.
You know.
But Shukadeva also may know.
Yeah, well, one of them that was no, one's may know, and one may or may not know. The potency of the Atmarama verse continues to be described in the next chapter. When all the people of Varanasi gathered there, expressed their desire to hear again the 61 different meanings of the Atmarama Shloka, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again explained them. When everyone heard Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's explanation of the Atmarama Shloka, everyone was astonished and struck with wonder. They concluded that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was none other than Lord Krishna himself. After this, all the Mayavadi sannyasis and learned scholars at Varanasi began discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered them. Thus he turned the whole city of Varanasi into another Navadvip. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leaf 25, 162, 167. Okay. Is this comparison taken from Atmataklis? Okay. So essence of Vaishnava philosophy. So you have Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana. Okay. So in the Dasamu, the basic difference that is there is that Vedanta Sutra is not elaborating on rasa. That's one of the first things. So how do you say? Is the this rasabdhim is not brought out. So then you have the opening, which is that you have to establish praman. So that's your amnaya prahatattvam, revealed through the scriptures. Is that you have, through the scriptures is revealed everything. Right? And then he's making the point of evidences are three, as is nine. So then you have the establishing the Lord, that the Lord is supreme in Dasamu. He is there's Sarvashaktim and Rasabdim. These are the three aspects that deal with him as the Lord. Right? Mm-hmm. Then you're dealing with, the next is dealing with the jivas, right? So the jivas are the general point of their parts and parcels of the Lord. Then those who are conditioned, and then those who are liberated. Right? Then the whole thing is together, the Lord, his energies, and the living entities is Veda Veda Prakasham. Right? Then Abhideya is the process Sadhanam Shuddha Bhaktim. Right? This is your process, and Tatpritim is your goal of life. Right? So in the Dasamul, basically you have one aspect of the Abhideya, one of Prayojana, and seven of Sambandha. But that first one is Praman, is establishing Praman, right? Then you have the seven aspects of there, is eight, one is Abhideya, and nine, right? Mm-hmm. And the Nava Prameyas, then he's establishing Vishnu as the supreme, so it has that same point as that in the Dasamul. Then he's dealing with the energies, the world is real, because otherwise the Maya bodies will say the world's not real, it's an illusion. Right, living entities are different and real, and they're parts and parcels. Right, so they're also another energy, right, that's being established here. And then, according to their absorption, Lord Hari's feet, there's gradation among them. So, in other words, as you absorb yourself, then you advance. So, the gradation here, this is very important here. This Tadatami is according to their absorption. Right, so this deals with what in the Dasamul is saying. The general rule is living entities are real in parts and parcels, right? Then, but subject to nature and who are liberated, right? So then here he's saying the gradation is according to their absorption of the Lord's lotus feet. Now, but how you say? So one has to be very careful that there are those amongst the Madhvas who they saying the gradation of souls is by just their inherent nature of sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic. But as we see what Madhvacharya is given, that's not the standard by which he's judging. Like that. So where they've come up with this, I have no idea. But it does make it easy in that you don't have to preach, because sattvic souls come anyway. And rajasic and tamasic can be preached, and what doesn't matter, because there won't be no results. So other than that, it makes them don't have to preach, or that because they've come, so they're subject, so they're superior. I have no idea what's the point of their philosophy. Right? So the point is the gradation is according to their absorption in the Lord. So, therefore, if they're how much they're averse to the Lord, that much is how much they're conditioned. As they become open to the Lord, they become pious. As they actually surrender in devotional service, then they take up the process, they become a sadhaka. As they perfect that, then they become a member of the spiritual world. That's your gradation of souls.
Yes.
Right? Okay. And then, you know, the Lord is the subject matter of all scriptures. Means that there isn't any other subject matter. There's, okay. And the cause for liberation is unalloyed devotional service. Because the Mayavadis are so interested in liberation, but real liberation is only found in connection with the Lord. Right? So that's the whole point that is trying to be established. So we see again, the Lord is established as supreme, then his energies are real, you know, and different. And by absorption in the Lord, then you'll come to the transcendental position. Does that make sense? Right? So he keeps it very, very simple, very straightforward. Right? He's not getting the elements of rasa. Chinta beta beta tattva hasn't been revealed, so it's naturally not going to be part of the definition. Yes.
Is he generally preaching to devotees who are more surrendered since he doesn't get into rasa, or is there some reason?
Because rasa is not a prominent element. It's not that it's not there, but the sweetness is not the prominent aspect. So, because when we're dealing rasa, you're dealing with all these five relationships. So that means according to your interest, your taste, that's what you'll be gaining. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now, with the Vaikuntha, there's only one relationship with the Lord.
Yes.
Right? So yes. So it's not a matter of... Yes, you could say it's the ocean of rasa. That's not mm-hmm. going to be a problem, but it's not a predominant element of the philosophy because there's not, according to your particular taste, that's how he's reciprocating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that they won't have any problem discussing that or explaining it because like someone is worshipping Ram, someone's worshipping Nisringa, someone this. So it's not going to be a problem for them in that. But the point is it's a matter of what the taste within a singular rasa rather than the taste and therefore the different rasas and then expanding that even within, you know, whatever is one's interest in the Lord, he's reciprocating in that way. So it gets a much broader appreciation there.
In the list from Dashamula, second from the bottom, it says Pramanam Pratyakshadi. But that doesn't seem to be in the...
I'm not sure where... Because he said he's taking it from Atmatattva's list, so I'm not sure where he's taken that from. There must be something, because the verses, we just read it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same wording as in the
It's upside down. Means, but it's just going through it in this order. Amnaya prahatatvam, right? It means is your amnaya means your shastra is the basis. That's the tattva. Harimiha paramam, he's the supreme lord. Sarva shaktim, he is all energies come from here. Rasabdhim, he's is the ocean of rasa. Tadbinam stajivam. Like that is that the living entities are as parts and parcels, as amshas, prakriti kavali tams, that some of them are conditioned, tadvi muktams chabhavat, some are liberated. Mm-hmm. Right? Beda beda prakasham, then that brings it all together. Shakalam apihare, saranam shuddha bhaktim, through devotional service, you'll get that. Satyam tat pritim, then that's the goal. Evetu vidishati, harir, then gora chandra, this is what he spoke. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like that. So then Madhvas, Prahatat Vishnu Paramam, he's there. Akhila Vedyam, Shavishvam, Satyam Veda. So the difference is real. Chajivam, Haricharana, Jushas, Taratamya, Tastesham. And then the difference of their gradation is according to their surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord. Moksham, Vishnu, Mangri, Labdham. So the real liberation is going to be in connection with devotional service. Tad amalabhajanam tasya. Right? Then he's giving pramana pratyakshadi triumph. But he mentions here, you notice in here, Upadeshati Hari Krishna Chaitanya Chandra. It ends in the same way. And it's been spoken by Lord Chaitanya. So this Nava Prameyas is what Lord Chaitanya gave to Madhvacharya. Right? So they're both spoken by Lord Chaitanya. But to Madhva, then it means this: the Achinta Veda Veda Tattva hasn't been revealed at this point. And basically, he's trying to establish that element that there's a difference, right? The jiva's the Lord Supreme, he's real. The material, his energies are real. The jivas are real, like that. And by liberation, it means liberation, because everyone's into liberation. So liberation means being situated in the lotus feet of the Lord, right? And so you're going to get that by devotional service. Does that make sense? So he's giving the same elements, like that. And that just he's giving it in a very specific way so that it can be appreciated. But as you said, it's the Baladeva Vibhusha, and also things called the Nava Prameyas. Is one of his books. I think the Vedanta Shamantaka or one of them is based on the Nava Prameyas. Like that, so it's affording the same aspect, but it's giving an emphasis in a different way, right? Because you're trying to establish within the Vedanta philosophy over the other philosophies, and to establish the reality of everyone involved, rather than there's the Brahman and everything's illusion. Okay, so it's it's specifically for establishing that. If people don't think like that, Dasamul is fine. The devotees, Dasamul is what works for them. And in explanation, most people, it's only if you're dealing really with generally the impersonalists, then this Nava Prameya is very important. Because then you have to emphasize how it's real. Otherwise, you'll mention it and then go to move on, and then they'll bring up that it's an illusion. Yes.
So Maharaj-Madhvacharya was more emphasizing Vedanta Sutra than Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes, of course. Like that. Bhagavatam, it's how much is brought out. It's brought out by Lord Chaitanya. Like that. Yes. Others there, because Ramanuja, they would also study it. They know Madhva, like that, but taking it as your principle. Shastra, that they don't specifically do.
Yes.
Like that.
Because of the Chincha Vidarilata.
Yes, like that. Because it's that aspect is not so strong. Let's see. Vedanta Sutra is more prominent for them. Like Ramanuja, Vedanta Sutra, Pancharatra, and the songs of the Acharyas. These were his three main focuses on training the disciples. We're in an environment where things have already been established, so then we can focus more on the Bhagavatam.
Yes.
But, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, even, Baladeva, like this, you're dealing in an environment where it's not accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Before Baladeva, we were just moving in our circle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessary that it has to be. But as it is growing and it comes in contact with the other lines, then they're saying, okay, well, where's your Vedanta Sutra authority?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you're saying you're Vedantist, so where's the Vedanta commentary?
Mm-hmm.
So then, with that being established, then we can bring out the aspect of Bhagavatam. Right? So it's been nicely done. You see, Jiva Goswami's done this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically discussions amongst ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Well, the others, then Vedanta Sutra is more important because they were dealing with the philosophy, and this philosophy is coming from Vedic sources, generally.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it means naturally you're kicking out anything that's speculative, that's not based on Shastra, and then he establishes what authorities he's accepting, right? But you're still working basically within the Vedic context, because the Buddhists are gone long before. Shankara already dealt with the Buddhists, I mean, it's not that they're not around, but it's just that they're not as much of a prominence as they were before. Then, so then for us, then we can focus on the Bhagavatam. And because it has all the elements in it, then we don't have, and we know the structure, we can very easily go out from that and preach in all these different ways. So we see as Lord Chaitanya was very successful. He was doing it by Bhagavad philosophy in these 10 categories. Right? Because whatever is here by, we see the Navapramayas is already dealt with in the Dasamul.
Yes.
Right? But the Dasamul is dealing with more, right? Because he just has Vishram Satyam. But so that means the energy is the ocean of bliss. These things are not dealt with as detail. But it's not that they can't come out. If the world's real, then that's because it's the Lord. And so why is it real? So it's an energy of the Lord. And the experiences people get are real. Right? But the point is what is that reality? It's the Lord. And so they're interacting with the Lord. They think they're interacting with the material energy. That's the illusion. They're interacting with the Lord through the medium of the external energy. So, therefore, what are they getting from that? Rasa. But that rasa is inferior, right, to spiritual rasa. Does that make sense? So, like that, all these different elements come out. Right? Living entities, parts and parcels, different and real. Right? So, all it is they're parts and parcels of the Lord. He's just bringing out, yes, and they're real.
Yes.
You know, just to make sure that if you didn't catch it in the previous point, you know you're going to catch it now, right? Then subject to nature. Okay. Then according to their absorption of the Lord, there's gradation. So he's dealing with this Prakriti Kavali Tams and Tadvimuktams Chabhavad. Means here 5 and 6 deal with both aspects. So then here by that by his, according to their absorption of the Lord's lotus feet, there's gradation amongst them. Right? So then in that, then he's just saying that, you know, there's material, there's spiritual, and there's those in between. That's your three levels. And that's what is being discussed by the same. Right? And so all it is here, he's making that point, is that it's their absorption of the Lord that makes the gradation. Right? Well, the Dasamul, in explanation, you understand. The liberated ones are the ones that absorb them. The conditioned ones are the ones that are not. Then there's the nature of just what is jiva tattva. So he doesn't get so much into that. Right? Okay. Then you know, the Lord is the subject matter of all scriptures. Everything's revealed through the scriptures. Same. By attaining constitutional nature, living entities are liberated. Right? You know, so that's there's gradation amongst them, meaning absorbance, according to their absorption, Lord Hari's lotus feet. Then they attain liberation. Then sadhana is devotional service, you know, pure devotional service. And the goal is to attain the lotus feet of the Lord. So if you've mentioned devotional service, it means that it has to be the love of God. But there's not much, as much emphasis on that because for them it's just not a concept. Mm-hmm. Right? For the impersonalists, it means bliss is the only thing they're looking at. Their own bliss. They're not looking at someone else's bliss. You know, they're not thinking when I merge in Brahman, Brahman's going to be happy. You know, Brahman is all one. So therefore, if I'm, you know, in illusion, I'm Brahman, but in illusion, I'm thinking I'm not Brahman. And by my being in that illusion, there's suffering. So technically, because we're part of Brahman, then Brahman technically would be not satisfied, then by merging back into Brahman, then Brahman would be satisfied because I'm Brahman, right? So, but that's not brought out at all. It's all about just oneself, right? Because it's Brahmananda is experienced by you, not by Brahman.
Yes.
Right? It's you know what I'm saying? So, in other words, underlying, they still are functioning as jivas, thinking as jivas. Like that. But jivas in that enjoying spirit. Because the natural position is it's all Krishna's energy, so
that means is coming from energetic. So energetic is the enjoyer. So therefore, all forms of energy are just in their different positions to take part in the happiness of the Lord. Right? So there is nothing here for us to enjoy. There's only opportunities for service, for the Lord's enjoyment. Right? But for saying, you know, that if you merge in Brahman, then you'll experience Brahmananda. So what's it about? It's about the jiva. It's not about the Lord. It's not about the origin. So it's still not the proper position of the consciousness of the living entity, though it's the liberated. It still has that enjoying mood. That's why he's making this point. Attaining the lotus feet of Vishnu is liberation. Right? And the cause for liberation is unalloyed devotional service. Right? Because that's the only way you're going to get. Right? Because the other one, technically, we'll say it's liberation, but it's not actually liberation. You know what I'm saying? Just like one would acknowledge that an ambassador is a car, but it's not really a car. You know, does that make sense? It's like that. It's, you can call it liberation. It means you're not in the material world, but how long are you going to do that for? You know, it's like you jump out of the window. You know, you're free. You know, but for how long? You know, the Minerva caste is not exactly your pinnacle of freedom.
Freedom. You can put an American flag on the caste.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. Liberty, fraternity, equity. Yeah, like this. Something on. But, you know, I mean, there's plenty of space, right? There's so many things on. But the point is it's not, that's the point. So we don't actually call that liberation. So what their concept of this being transcendental is situated in Sat, but not in Chit and Ananda. Then we don't actually call liberation. So that's what Madhvacharya is pointing out.
Because it's not actually the constitutional position.
No, no. You're still in the enjoying mood. You're still taking the position of the Purusha Shakti.
Yeah.
So that means you're still under Maya. Just that, you know, Maya has some outlying areas. That, you know, you know, in other words, you get out of the material world, and if you check carefully, there's a very thin little string still connected.
Yeah. In Denmark, they have like open prisons, like for people who extremely well behaved or financial criminals, crime or something.
Open so means?
Open means that they get there's no now and again. That, yeah, there's no actual fence around or anything. They just stay there, and it looks like kind of a nice neighborhood, but they can't leave.
Maybe can't leave the neighborhood.
No.
Yeah. So there's the fence at some point.
No. They just there's. I mean, if
oh,
they,
I see.
It's like being out on bail or something. But they trust them that they will actually stay because if they're financial people or something like that, they wouldn't like just jump the fence. That's not
okay. Okay.
So maybe it's like that.
No, I don't think you could trust the Maya body.
No, I don't think that's true. good point.
I wouldn't
good,
do that.
Good point.
You know, it's just they go out there, and then when they you know, get... they're satisfied, how you say? When Brahmananda gets boring, then they think of activity, then, you
then
know, Maya is there
need,
to make
we
the
We need the fence.
Yeah.
Good point.
Does that make sense? So we see is that the connection here between all these points is the same. It's just where the emphasis is. Right? Like that. We can see is the Dasamul is a general definition of everything according to Tattva just as it is. While the Navaprameyas is specifically establishing the Vaishnav understanding of Vedanta. Like that. Right? Because it's coming from Vedanta Sutra. So the emphasis is a little bit more that way. So we see Bhagavatam is the natural commentary because it brings it out in a very nice, fully explained way.
And Maharaj, can we say that every acharya he's written some commentary according to the audience at the time of the...
Yeah, always the audience, but as we see, it's going to be at least in the Brahma Samhita, always according to this formula of Sambandhavide.
Yes.
Like that. The other acharyas will do the same, but now how they make their structure, I don't know. But even their philosophy you can explain this way, because there aren't points outside of this.
Mm.
Yes.
Why is it that the Navaprameyas is talking about unalloyed devotional service and the Dasamud is just mentioning pure devotion? As you know, the Navaprameyas is basically talking about Vishnu and that means Vaikuntha.
It means here in this case the Amala can be also as pure. Like that. It's just it means the process is pure devotion. Sadhanam Shuddha Bhaktim. And here instead of Shuddha they use Amala. Right? And Sadhana they use Bhajanam. Well, that's all. It's the same. Okay. Okay, Jiva Goswami holds that the Atmarama Shloka and the verses preceding it reveal the essential idea of Srimad Bhagavatam. Firstly, they reveal the inner purpose of Vyasadeva's heart and show how Sukadeva Goswami's heart perfectly reflects it. Secondly, as we will see in the up-and-coming analysis, this passage reveals all the pramayas of the Vaishnava philosophy. On the basis of these essential verses from the first canto, he will extract the three key tattvas of the Bhagavatam, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, concluding that the main subject of Srimad Bhagavatam is the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and that the process for attaining him is Bhakti Yoga. The next few texts, Anuchedas 30 and 31, will compare the ontological position of the Lord's multifarious energy, Shakti Tattva, and carefully weighing the supremacy of the various features of the absolute Brahman, Paraman, and Bhagavan. Text 30.34. The same purport of the Bhagavatam is also briefly specified in the description of Sri Bhadarayana's trance. Sri Bhadarayana, the earlier speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, performed meditation to ascertain the truth, tattva, to be propounded in the book he was about to write. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak prani hite male apasyat purusham purnam mayam chatad apasrayam. Thus he fixed his mind, perfectly engaged it, by linking it in devotional service, bhakti yoga, without any tinge of materialism. And thus he saw the absolute person, along with his external energy, which was under his shelter. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.4. The qualification of Vyas. What were Srila Vyasadeva's qualifications for entering samadhi and having divine vision of the Supreme Lord and his energies? Srila Jiva Goswami explains this according to three words in the verse. One, bhakti yogena. In Anucheda 30.3, Srila Jiva Goswami explains that bhakti yogena refers not to devotional service and practice, but to the perfection of spontaneous service, pure love of God. This is how the word is used. He shows the following verse. My dear King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, sometimes grants liberation to those engaged in getting his favor, but he rarely grants bhakti yoga. Muktim dadati karhichits smana bhakti yogam. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.6.18. This verse is spoken by Sukadeva Goswami to reassure Purkin Maharaj that his lineage, the Guru dynasty, is the most glorious of all, in spite of the fact that Lord Krishna did not appear in it. The five Pandavas did appear in it, and they were pure unalloyed bhaktas, far beyond the stage of mukti. They rendered direct service to the Lord, and the Lord served them in kind. Srila Prabhupada explains, Lord Krishna, indebted to the Pandavas' devotional service, sometimes acted as their messenger, and he guided them through many dangerous situations.
Lord Krishna easily gives one liberation, but he does not so easily give one the facility to become a devotee. Directly or indirectly, it is proved that bhakti yoga is the basis for the supreme relationship with the Supreme Lord. Right, that's Madhvacharya's point. It is far superior to liberation. For a pure devotee of the Lord, mukti is automatically obtained.
Right, so that's the point. Mukti is generated from bhakti, not that mukti on its own has a standing. Right, because there is no such thing as, you can't be not in devotional service and be eternally in the liberated position. Right? If you're not in devotional service, you're under the control of the external energy, because the jiva is not independent. Right?
Since only bhakti yoga has the power to bind the Lord, here is suggested that Vyasadeva had privileged insights into transcendence, far beyond that of an ordinary sage. Two, pranihite. Srila Jiva explains that the word fixed, pranihite, means fixed in meditative trance, samahite, in accordance with Narada's instructions to Vyasadeva. Please remember the Lord's exceptional activities by meditating in trance, samadhi, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.13. Hence, Vyasadeva was free from whimsy due to following the order of his spiritual master. And three, amale. Lastly, Vyasadeva's mind was pure, amala, free from material motives and attraction to sense enjoyment. Purusham Purnam. The next major significant words in this verse are Purusham Purnam. Sri Jiva states, 30.3 continued, the words Purnam Purusham, complete person, according to Mukta Pragrahaya Vritti, tending to the highest meaning, means Krishna for the following reasons. Bhagavan iti shabdoyam tata purusha ityapi vartate nirupadischa vasudeve kilatmani. The words Bhagavan and Purusha, when indicating someone devoid of all upadis, means Vasudeva, the soul of all beings. Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda, 226. 68. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan explains how the rule of mukta prahaya, tending to the highest meaning, here means that just as a horse freed from his reins runs to the limit of his strength, the word purna takes on its highest limit of fullness as swayam bhagavan. Why is this significant? Because, according to Sridhar Swami's explanation of this verse, the name Purusha can refer to various aspects of the Supreme. In one sense, the Purusha is the Godhead in his original fullness, as he is in the spiritual world, Govindamadi Purusham Tamahang Bhajami. The original person, Purusha, is God. All other persons reflect his completeness only partially. In its other sense, however, Purusha denotes the Purusha avatars, Karana Dakshay Vishnu, Garbha Dakshay Vishnu, and Kira Dakshay Vishnu. Footnote 2. Srila Radha Mohan Goswami points out that lexicographers have explained the derivation of the word Purusha in similar terms. One etymology traces Purusha to Pura Asit, he existed previously, and another to Puri Shari Shete, he sits down in the Pura, the material body. Narad Muni speaks in a similar way in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.14.37. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has created many residential places, Puras, like the bodies of human beings, animals, birds, saints, and demigods. In all these innumerable bodily forms, the Lord is Paramatma, resides, Shete, with the living beings. Thus he is known as Purusha Avatar. That means Manu also is explaining similar. He says about all the bodies and all that, and then the soul is there, and then the super soul is there. Right. Okay, so Akama Sarvakama Va Mokshakama Udharati Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Purnam. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of all material desire, without material desire, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Person, Purusham Purnam, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10, footnote 3. Sri Jiva was aware that in some manuscripts of Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 2.3.10 reads differently. In Anucheda 31.1, he says, if we choose the alternative reading, Purvam, the word still refers to the same Supreme Lord, as shown by the specific uses of Shruti scripture in the passage, quote, I alone was present in the beginning, Purvam. This is why the Purusha is called Purusha, Pura Asi, he existed previously. What is more, in the BBT edition of Bhagavatam, we get a third version, Yajeta Purusham Param. Jiva Goswami points out, however, that regardless of whether it says Purusham Purnam, the complete person, Purusham Param, the supreme person, or Purusham Purvam, the primeval person, it makes no difference as they all refer to the one and the same subject, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Sri Jiva substantiates this equivalence by reference to a statement from the Shruti, Purvam evaham ihasam iti tad purushasya purushatvat purushatvam Taittiriya Aranyaka 123.4. The personality of Godhead here declares that he alone was present before the creation of this universe. As a consequence, the Lord's existence prior to everything else distinguishes him as the Supreme Purusha. Furthermore, his being alone does not contradict the eternal existence of his spiritual kingdom. Inhabited by his countless companions and servants, it simply denies the existence of anything material in the dormant period between creations. The commentary by Sridhar Swami to the first of these two verses says, the Purusha is supreme, meaning that his imaginary features, upadis, are different from those of material nature. And the commentary to the second says, the Purusha here is full, Purnam, meaning supreme, Param. That is to say, having no conditioning limitation. Bhavarta, Deepika 2.3.10. It is possible that, in his trance, Vyasadeva had darshan of the Supersoul. Footnote 4. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is the Supersoul of the total universe. Samasti, Paramatma, and Kiradakshaya Vishnu is the Supersoul of each individual soul. Vyasti, Paramatma. Indeed, the first Purusha is also accompanied by his personal external energy, whom he glances at in order to generate the material world. This notion is defeated by the word nirupadi, meaning literally free from limiting adjuncts. According to Sridhar Swami, the Purusha avatars, although Vishnu Tattva, are nonetheless subjected to the upadi of Prakriti. They are involved in material nature. One should not infer that they are conditioned like the ordinary Bhadra Jiva. They control the material energy. They are never influenced by it. The relationship is like that between the prison guard and the prisoner. Like the personality of Godhead, they are also purna, complete and perfect, but they appear limited due to their proximity to the external energy. And these limitations distinguish them from purna purusha, Sri Krishna. On the other hand, is never directly involved with the material world. Moreover, only Swayam Krishna possesses the extraordinary qualities of Lila Madhura, Prema Madhurya, Vena Madhurya, and Rupa Madhurya. He alone is free from all limitations. Right?
So the whole, why all this is going on is so that he's making the point that when you could have various understandings of the reference to the Supreme Lord. So because it's a general reference, you would generally take it to what's the highest level. That's the point. If it's specific, then you're talking about that. But if not, you're taking it to that highest level. So by taking it to that highest level, then you're establishing it's Swayam Krishna that is being discussed. Right? And so now it's being pointed out, what is the position of all the other, how you say, expansions of the Lord.
One of the reasons is that Vedanta Sutra is written in such a language, even the Mayavadis could benefit, so it's broadening the concept, so everyone would...
No, it's just, see, the Upanishads, they're giving all their different points. So then the essence of all those points that's being given in Vedanta Sutra. So it's in that same style, same language. So anyone who has that kind of intellectual interest or capacity, then in studying of the Upanishads, they should be able to derive, you know, the importance. But unfortunately, from studying, they haven't necessarily. Right? From studying the Vedas, you end up with all these different philosophies. So Vedanta is one. So then to make that very exact and clear, then Vedanta Sutra is there to document that. So you have the proper understanding. And so then one sees that the philosophy of the Veda is given in the Upanishad, so it shouldn't end up as something else. You shouldn't get Nyaya, Vaisheshika. These, you should only get Vedanta. So Vedanta Sutra then establishes that.
Okay. Upadhi. Since the philosophical concept of upadhi is a running theme in the Sandarbhas, in all Vedantic literature for that matter, it is worth defining in more detail. Upadhi is variously translated as limitation, false designation, or modifier. In its strict philosophical usage, it means limiting adjunct. It is either an apparent quality, as opposed to a real quality, of one thing, or a real quality belonging to a second thing that seemingly belonging to the... It is either an apparent quality, as opposed to a real quality, of one thing, or a real quality belonging to a second thing but seeming to belong to the first due to a relationship between the two, like part and whole, or cause and effect. And upadhi's effect is to apparently modify the natural state of an object by its proximity or association, though in fact it has no integral or natural relationship with the object. The first kind of upadhi, consisting of qualities that do not really exist, is presumed by impersonalists in the Mayavadi school to be the source of all duality. This is not what Shujiva is referring to here by the word upadhi. So in other words, the illusion, that upadhi, is not what he's talking about. The Mayavadis are taking that as the myth. The second kind is illustrated by the example of a translucent piece of crystal, which appears red to our eyes because a red flower is standing behind it. The stone is conditioned to look red. Its redness is merely an apparent quality, an upadhi. The red color is real, but our understanding of the relationship between that quality and the stone is false.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, in other words, the jiva appears to have all these, the conditioned state, but that is not its natural state. The jiva is liberated. But because of the consciousness of the jiva, it accepts that kind of position. So they function as a conditioned soul. But the upadhis actually aren't part of them. Does that make sense? Yes.
Seems to resemble from Jaiva Dharma when Vaishnava Thakur was talking about Nainitik Dharma. Because it's been going on for so long, we're seeing it as this actual identity.
Yes. So that's, therefore you have the differences. When we say Nitya Dharma, we mean devotional service, right? And Naimittic is what may by done by being here in the material world. While the smartas will take it that Nitya means all the duties that are given in the Veda that you're supposed to perform. And Naimittic are the occasional ones, but devotional service doesn't come up as a definition at all. Right? You know, so the Sad Dharma is not actually how they'll look at it. Does that make sense? So in other words, you're talking about the Mayavadis will say upadhi is, it's not real, it's not there, it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. We're saying the upadhi exists, but the illusion is thinking that the upadhi is actually connected with the article. It's not, it's separate. You know, the example given of the crystal is the crystal's not red, it's clear, but because it's next to a red flower, that redness comes through, you're able to see the redness in the crystal. But the crystal is not red.
Yes.
Like that. So the jiva is, though conditioned by consciousness, is not actually in a state other than liberated.
Yes.
That's that. It is Satchitananda. So it's not part of the material creation. Mm-hmm. Does that sound?
Yes.
Yes.
It seems that all the definition can vary according to the intention.
Meaning?
If somebody wants to become a pure devotee of Krishna, so the definition is according to...
Oh, yes. No, but then there's the reality of what the definition is. In illusion, then, in other words, the soul being conditioned by jnana will define it one way. The conditioned by karma will define it another way. But there still is the real definition.
Yes.
That's the point, is that the Achinta Bheda Veda Tattva definition of things is the actual fact of what it is.
Yes.
At the same time, is then there's that whole process of, by being involved with the material energy, how the modes of nature will bind one, and one will have different visions of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that you have all these different visions and this is one of them. No, this is the real vision.
Yes.
The other ones are ways that you can come up. So in other words, because this particular mode is close to the soul by the soul's choosing to be close to it, therefore the soul becomes colored by that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
So we identify with it.
Yes, so we identify with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
When you say it's close to the soul, what does it mean?
Close means that you, the consciousness is absorbed in it, so that brings it, how you say, close. But factually, it's not part of. That's Jiva Goswami's point, is that it's not actually inherent in the item. Right, like the Mayavada is just saying, illusion and the jiva, these two are inherent.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because it's not actually there.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, is if you continue in their philosophy, the only way they can actually explain the position is by using our definition. Because otherwise, how does Brahman become conditioned? Where is it going to come from? So in other words, the Brahman, by that proximity and identifying with it, then it appears to take on the quality of the jiva, when actually it's not, it's transcendental. So you can actually only explain their philosophy with ours. Their philosophy can't actually explain their own philosophy. It's not a viable philosophy. Right?
Sir, according to Madhavacharya, real liberation means devotion and service.
That's the only.
So means that each devotee is liberated, but we are thinking that we are not.
Yeah. You know, it means, in other words, that one will act according to one's identity. So if you identify as servant of Krishna, you'll act in that way.
Yes.
Right? So the difficulty is not, see, it's that you're doing something, it's not that there's a problem in doing it. The problem is our conditioning and how we view ourselves, whether we will do it. You know what I'm saying? The person identifies himself in a particular way, so he does the activities of that identification. But if you change the identity, he would be doing different activities. Like if he thinks today, yes, I'm the skier, and then he's got all the gear and all that, and he goes out and does it. You know, and then after breaking his leg in three places, then he might identify with something else. You know. But he can do. But if it actually was that he was that, how can he change? You know, how can the soul change from one pursuit of sense gratification and another? Because none of them are actually connected with the soul. So they can do that. They're actually in a liberated state. That's where that so-called freedom comes from. You know, I'm free, I can do whatever I want. Yes, you can on the transcendental platform. The material platform, you're bound by whatever you involve yourself in. You know, and it's interesting how those who are free always choose the same activity. They don't do something else. You know what I'm saying? You know, so it's just the way it is. They always do the same thing. So that's the whole point. Is one's bound by one's modes. Yeah. Yes.
I just wanted to say, so then Upadi, one of the definitions would be a reflection of the modes on the soul, actually.
Yeah, the particular. Because anything else is not... Because in the spiritual world, they don't have... What you're dealing with is the actual, real nature of the soul.
Right.
You know, so if they have a particular taste or an interest, that's actually the nature of the soul.
And here, it's just...
the association. Because you have an interest, so therefore all these different things are shown. Mm-hmm. You know, and then when the crystal turns red, you go, see, I'm red. You know, yeah, but it's not really... Yes.
Nishtha means fixed in one's identity, like free from.
It's you see yourself as servant to the Lord, so therefore you're consistent in serving the Lord. Is that so? So the identity is consistent. The activity is consistent. The results consistent. Upadi, okay, we're done there. Similarly, the material body is an upadi superimposed on the soul. The soul is like a crystal, in that he is easily influenced through proximity and association. Thus, the soul's proximity to the material body causes him to become conditioned by the modes of nature. In reality, the soul and supersoul are nirupadi, without any limiting adjuncts, just like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jiva has shown why Purusha Param cannot refer to the supersoul. Being a dependent manifestation of the Lord, it cannot be separated from him. Yet, what if one were to infer that the nirupadi condition of the soul, Purusha, places it on the same level as the impersonal supreme? Perhaps it was Brahman that was the central object of Srila Vyasadeva's trance. This notion of absolute equality is refuted by the word Yajeta Purusham Param. One should worship the Supreme. The word root Yaj means to worship a deity. To assign an impersonal interpretation to the statement is absurd at best. Okay, and then these are just verses then connected with that, or?
Continuing with the rest of the trance.
Oh, okay. Due to this external energy, the living entity, although transcendental to the three modes of material nature, thinks himself a material product and thus undergoes a reaction to material miseries. The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service, sadhana bhakti. Right? So therefore, it's that point of it's upadi, it's external. But the mass of people do not know this. And therefore, Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. When one simply gives oral reception to this Vedic scripture, the feeling for devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fear. The great sage Vyasa, after composing the Srimad Bhagavatam and revising it, taught it to his son, Sri Sukadeva Goswami, who was absorbed in renunciation. In that same passage, Sukadeva, son Ankara, asked, Sri Sukadeva Goswami was already on the path of self-realization, and thus he was pleased within his own self. Why did he take the trouble to undergo the study of such a vast literature? To this, Sutta Goswami replied, though freed from all kinds of material bondage, those who take pleasure in the spirit self desire to render unalloyed devotional service under the Personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.10. Srila Sukadeva Goswami, the son of Srila Vyasadeva, was not only transcendentally powerful, he was also very dear to the devotees of the Lord.
Thus, his mind, captivated by the enchanting qualities of Lord Hari, he underwent the study of this great narration, Srimad Bhagavatam. So they're asking, why would he go through such a great study? It's because being on the transcendental platform is attracted by the qualities of the Lord. Mm. And so, therefore, then he studied it.
There wouldn't be so much else for him to engage in, would there?
Yeah, no. So this transcendental aspect means, even though it seems great, it's not great when you're on the transcendental platform, because then it's just very nice, right? For us, it's, you know, very big literature, but for them, it's that, you know, you could go on unlimitedly hearing about the Lord, glorifying the Lord. Text 31.1. When it is said that Sri Vedavyasa saw the Lord, it is understood he saw the Lord along with his internal energy. Just as when we say that someone saw the full moon, we understand that the person saw the moon along with his effulgence. To support this statement, Baladeva Vidyabhushan cites the following verse from Shruti. Parashya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate Swabhaviki Jnana Bhala Kriyacha. The Lord has various shaktis inherent in him, such as jnana shakti, bala shakti, and kriya shakti. Sweta Svatara Upanishad 6.8. Ladini sandhani samvit jagyeka sarva samastitao lada tapta kare mishra tvai no guna varjite. In you, who are the shelter of all spiritual qualities, exist the energies of ladini, sandini, samvit. And you who are devoid of material qualities, the mixture of happiness and distress found in the material world does not exist. Vishnu Purana 1.12.68. These three primary energies constitute the Lord's internal potency, the Sarup Shakti. Jiva Goswami gives a detailed explanation of these potencies in the Bhagavad Sandarbha. The Lord's Sarup Shakti is in essence his female counterpart, the source of his personal pleasure. Just as moon and moonlight are inseparable, so too is the Lord is never separated from his internal energy. Not to speak of Govinda, even when Mahavishnu lies down to create the material world, in his mystic sleep, Yoga Nidra, within himself he is actually enjoying his internal pleasure potency. Atmana Ramaya Reme Chaktakalam Shishrikshaya. As he intends to send forth his separated energy, he continues to enjoy with his internal consort. Brahma Samhita 5.7. Srila Jiva Goswami will establish that the Purusha Purnam Srila Vyasa had darshan of was none other than Braja Krishna, where the Lord is always surrounded by his most loving, intimate devotees. The suggestion here is that in his trance, Srila Vyasadeva also saw Srimati Radharani and associates, but the Lord is never separated from his shakis. 3.1.2, therefore it is said, you are the original Lord, the controller beyond material energy. You are situated in your spiritual form, being one with your spiritual energy, chit chakya, and separate from the material energy. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.23.
What's the importance of the Srila Vyasadeva saw Srimati Radharani and her associates in this connection?
Is Jiva Goswami saying that, or?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Okay. That meaning then you're getting the complete aspect of, because if you just have Krishna without, then you're not dealing with that highest form. In his own sense. So, that highest form means the Lord and his internal potency, and so in this case, the internal potency would be Srimati Radharani, right, and her associates. So, then you would get all these pastimes that you would get in the 10th canto Bhagavatam. Because otherwise, if he hadn't seen that, then he would reveal whatever it is that has been seen. So, if the Lord is seen with his internal potency, that means then he's
by the grace of the Lord, he's able to see, because otherwise you can see Krishna without. Narad Muni is not mentioning that he saw the Lord with his internal potency. He just saw the super soul. Right? Mm-hmm. So Bhagavan means the Lord with his internal potency. Like the Brahma Samhita is talking about Mahavishnu's with Ramadevi. Right? So then in that situation, then the material energy comes, he glances upon the material energy. But even he himself is not in that mood of interacting with Ramadevi. That's not the mood of the glance. The glance is that of Sadashiva. Right? We had that element of ignorance is there. Right? That means that illusory aspect, you know, of the living entities being controlled by. Because if there's not an illusion, then how will the jivas take part in the material arrangement? Right? Because it doesn't have anything for the jiva, because the jiva is transcendental. So, it's different aspects. Does that make sense?
Maharaj indicated that before having this trance, Vyasadeva was not having darshan of the Lord like that.
It appears so. Because the point is, as a chinta veda veda tattva, that will get you to Braj.
Yes.
If you don't have that, it won't get you to Braj. It doesn't mean that you don't, one might say, that, well, what about Vrindavan?
Yeah.
Like that, the Madhvas, they you know, hear about Krishna's pastimes because they accept,
yes,
Bhagavatam.
Mm-hmm.
The Shris, they also like this.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what they're seeing is Vrindavan, but not Braja Vrindavan. That's why the term is there, because we can say Braj, but that is short for Braja Vrindavan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And when we say Vrindavan, we mean Braja Vrindavan.
Yes.
So you can either shorten Braja Vrindavan as Braj or as Vrindavan.
Yes.
But for them, Vrindavan that they're dealing with is another manifestation where it's Krishna, Vishnu is in the form of Krishna and his consort is in the form of Radha.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it's that kind of intimate, simple pastimes. But it's not Braja Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. It's a different,
yes,
mood. Right? Mm-hmm. Like that. So it's just. So one can only see up to that level, but a chinta veda veda tattva, that will give you entrance into,
yes,
Braja, that understanding there. Right.
Yes.
So there would be significant that he's brought this out.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
What would be the view of the Nibbaka Sampradaya? They chant Radhisham, Radhisham, Sham Sham, Radha Radha.
Same. But it's not Vaikuntha. They're dealing within Goloka.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But they're not dealing with this element of lower Goloka, but they're still not dealing with Braj.
Oh. Okay.
You know, because where's the separation? Where's the full manifestation? Because the point is okay, being around somebody, always being around them, then there's that particular happiness that's there. And so basically that is something very understandable, something very much appreciated. No?
Mm-hmm.
But now the element of being able to appreciate separation,
yes,
mm-hmm,
that takes much more, how you say, commitment,
yes,
in a relationship to be able to handle that.
Yes.
Does that make sense? You know, so that's therefore then it functions on a higher platform. So I don't know what would be the exact term, but it's always about being around, always about being happy. So there's only sambhog for them. There's no such thing as viparamba. Means you have, the case they give is that the concept is there, but it's still within sambhog. You know, the example is given of Prema Sarova. They're together, but it appears that they're not. So, who's experiencing the separation? Radha Krishna or the gopis around them? Radha Krishna, not the gopis around them, because they see it's all going on. So, that's the point, is that these devotees want to be those kind of gopis. So they're always with, always there. It's so much so we have kunjas. I haven't seen that there are names of kunjas. There's just a kunj. But the Nimbarkas, they have names for each kunj. Because they're always just moving in the different kunjas. They're never not there. Right? There is no such thing as they have to go. They're always... So therefore, then they have different kunjas that they're in for different pastimes and different tastes and all that kind of thing. So it's a slightly different approach. So it's not Braj. Like that. That's why I said it's never been given before. Otherwise, Nimbarka was 5,000 years ago. You know, it's said he was born in the end of, you know, a few years in Dwapara Yuga. Right? And then... You know, then he would have been living after, you know, he would have written his commentary and everything in Kali. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so the words along with, And so the words along with his external energy, which was under his subordinate shelter, mayam cha tad apashrayam, imply that under his shelter maya has an inferior role. It is inferior to the Surup Shakti. Since she runs away from him, keeping herself at a distance, she is not his internal energy and does not arise from his Surup. This is stated later in the Bhagavatam. Quote, maya, feeling ashamed, flees the Lord's direct presence. Maya, parait, yabhimuke, cha, vilaj, jamana. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.7.47. Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan gives an analogy to describe the relationship between these two energies. Therefore, since Maya is inferior to the Surup Shakti, it is said that Maya took shelter of the Lord as an inferior. Mayam chad. It is understood from the text that the Shakti arises from the Lord's Sarup. The Sarup Shakti is like a queen, and Maya Shakti is like a servant at the outer door. There's a great difference between them, because the Maya Shakti is the shadow of the Sarup. So that's why Sarup Shakti is directly from Krishna's Sarup. It means his form is directly in expansion. Right? But then Maya is the shadow of that. Besides the Lord's internal potencies, Vyasa also saw his external potency, Maya, and his marginal potency, the Jivas. Maya is not part of the Lord's Sarup. She is present in his entourage, but remains out of sight. She discharges her duties outside the king's inner quarters. She does not have the same privileges as the queens, who can associate with him at all times. While inferior to the Sarup Shakti, the external Maya has the power to subdue the Jivas. The Jiva's susceptibility to material bondage is spoken of in verse 175. Due to this external energy, the living entity, although transcendental to the three modes of material nature, thinks himself a material product and thus undergoes a reaction of material miseries. Here the doubt arises. Does this not contradict the statement of Bhagavad Gita 7.5, which states that the living entity is superior to the Lord's separated inferior energy. Aparyayam itas tanyam prakritim vidime param. How does the superior jiva come under the control of the inferior prakriti? Srila Prabhupada answers this question in the Bhagavatam purport. I think we just run out of time.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Shri Prabhupada ki
jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki
jai
Jainatai Gaurapani Hare Hare